listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight in a healthy way, and get on with your life. That is my mission for you. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. So today I have some questions that people have sent in that I'm going to be answering. But if you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And hi, Erin Chow from Italy. I love it. Also on Instagram. So I'm getting some love on Instagram. Hi, Kylene. Hi, Erin. Hi, everybody else I'm seeing on Instagram. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So again, I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The problem is what is eating at you. So give me a call. Let me know what is eating at you, what is weighing on you. So I actually have a message. Got a message from Kylene, who is here today on Instagram. And she said, I use the food mood formula to be aware of the emotions I'm eating. My question is, what do you think about noticing what I eat when I'm happy? Is this important? So just quickly, for those of you who don't know my food mood formula, let me just illuminate that for a moment. So in all the years that I have been treating eating disorders, disordered eating, emotional eating, and all of that, I started noticing some patterns. Started noticing that when people were talking about eating ice cream or certain kinds of things like that, what they really needed was comfort. I started noticing that when they were eating crunchy foods, like they'd have a bag of chips, it was because they were upset at something. They were angry. They were frustrated. They were irritated. And when they were eating so much that they felt really full, it was to fill an emptiness. There was some kind of void that was going on within them. And so my food mood formula, which, by the way, if you go to my website, drninainc.com, drninainc.com, you can get my food mood formula workbook for yourself and dig a little deeper into this. And so the food mood formula is that if you are turning to smooth, creamy foods, like ice cream, like pudding, like, you know, stuff like that, yogurt even, that what you really need is comfort. And so you want to look at other ways that you can comfort yourself with words. If you are eating a lot and you're eating bulky foods, like think pasta, pizza, muffins, cake, you know, things that really take up space and fill you up. Bread, anything like that, that's associated with filling a void, whether that is loneliness or something that is missing in your life. Think about that. What is it? What is the void that you are trying to fill symbolically, unbeknownst to yourself, because no one walks around going, oh, I need to fill a void. Let me eat a bunch of cake. No, they just say, I can't stop eating cake. What's wrong with me? But this is helps you look at the unconscious reasons why you are turning to whatever food that you are turning to. The last category is crunchy. So if it's pretzels or chips or even, you know, you can't stop eating a bag of carrots, look at where in your life you are feeling angry, frustrated, irritated. These are all forms of anger. And give that a voice instead of sort of using food for that purpose. And now, what about chocolate? The question I often get is, what about chocolate? Well, chocolate usually is either sort of dark chocolate, which is crunchy, which is smooth, creamy, or it's got nuts in it. So that's anger. So if you think about chocolate, if chocolate is your thing, think about the form that you like chocolate in and look at that. And maybe you just need more sweetness in your life. That's another thing to think about. So, Kylene, keep in mind that the food mood formula, and everybody, keep in mind that the food mood formula is for when you're using food to resolve something emotional. And how can you tell when that is? When you have a kind of a compulsive feeling, you can't stop eating it, you're filled with guilt and shame, and it feels as if you're addicted to whatever it is that you're eating. The food mood formula is only when you are eating something to resolve something emotional. It is not, for example, it's a hot day, you go out with, you know, friends or your family or whatever, and you have some gelato. Aaron might be having gelato in Italy, or you're just having some ice cream or something. That's not about the food mood formula doesn't apply to that. That's just having some ice cream. It's not about having some chips with your sandwich or eating a piece of cake. It's when you're actually using this food to resolve something emotional. And therefore, I guess I would ask Kylene, when you say you're eating when you're happy, is this eating that you're doing to celebrate? And if so, maybe you want to look at how can you celebrate without food? Are you eating because, I guess I want to know more about that, Kylene, if you can drop a comment here on Instagram, maybe join the conversation a little bit. But my question would be, if you're eating when you're happy, is it, What is that eating? Is it eating too much? Does it still feel like you can't get enough? Is it celebratory? Something like that. These are questions that we want to get to. And Josh is saying on Instagram, we need to get to the unconscious feeling. Yes, the unconscious feeling, the unconscious conflict, the unconscious need, because we can get so good at turning to food to resolve whatever's going on inside that we don't even know we're triggered. No, I've been answering the question, do you need to pay attention to what you're eating if you're happy? Only if you feel like you're overeating. Only if you feel like you're using food to celebrate and you're eating too much, or you don't know how to celebrate or be happy without food. In that case, that is something to look at. What's it like to be happy without eating? Can you do that? Because a lot of times we connect food with celebration, food with happiness. Birthday cake. We go out to celebrate something with friends. We go out to dinner. We have we have cake for celebrations. So, Kylene, when you're happy, are you eating because you're happy, or are you happy because you're eating? That would be my question. So if you have any thoughts on that, feel free. Otherwise, if you're just eating something and it's not causing you to be upset, or if you're eating when you're happy and then you're upset later, then you want to apply the food mood formula. Okay, another question is, what's the best way to get back on track after a lapse? And by the way, I want to invite you to, you can certainly leave me questions on LA Talk Radio. Please feel free to call me 323-203-0815. I'd love to talk with you because, whatever you're going through, chances are that other people can relate. I hear this all the time. People say, oh my gosh, what Josh said, or what Carly Gash said, or what Pamela said, or what Nicole said, or what, Christina said, all people who, or what Brian from Chicago said, people who call in with some regularity, I get so many people writing me and saying what they said, I can so relate to. So just know that if you're calling for you, you're also helping other people. And Josh is saying the unconscious drives behaviors. Absolutely. Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to behavior. Sometimes those thoughts and those emotions are hidden from us and unconscious. But if we just focus on the behavior, we don't get anywhere for long. That's just going on a diet. You have to address what are the thoughts that are leading to the feelings that are leading to the food. And if you're dieting, that keeps you disconnected from yourself. It keeps you too focused on what you're eating and not why. And lots of reasons why diets don't work. But so, which actually is a great lead-in by myself to this question. So she asks, what is the best way to get back on track after having a lapse? So my question is, what is meant by on track? Because on track seems to suggest dieting. Get back on track. Dieting or having some kind of food plan or meal plan or other euphemisms for dieting, those are ways that keep you separate from you and keep you from being able to eat intuitively. Carly Gash, how do I give myself the right to listen to my body and be okay with not wanting to eat and not be scared to have an empty stomach and stuff myself as my family used to force feed me? A lot of questions there, Carly Gash. Let me finish this, which might actually answer your question as well. Diets keep us separate from ourselves. If we're eating what we're supposed to eat because a book or an app or a piece of paper or something outside of our bodies tell us this is what we should eat, we are disconnected from ourselves. And when we're disconnected from ourselves, we're not giving ourselves what we need nutritionally. And we're not nourishing our bodies. We're in a battle with our bodies. And the idea is that your body is you. When we binge eat, now I'm separating from diets a second. When we binge eat or emotionally eat, it's a way of abandoning yourself. You are abandoning yourself if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else, but you are also abandoning you. You're saying, in effect, I can't deal with this feeling, this state. It's too much. I gotta do something else. I gotta feel a different way. I've gotta focus on something else. So instead of, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. I feel empty. I feel bad. I don't know what to do. I feel lost. I feel alone. I feel scared. Instead of that, it becomes, oh my God, why did I eat that? First, it's you eat something, probably too much of something. And then you focus on, why did I do that? Why? So helplessness over certain areas of your life become helplessness over food. Or instead of feeling the ache of loneliness, you feel the pain of being physically too full, or you start attacking yourself for what you eat. Basically, you are distanced from your own body. And
hello, Dr. Nina, can you hear me?
I find that people who use food to cope feel like there's a split. There's them versus their bodies. It's, I'm against my body and I'm not going to let my body win. Oh, I just saw that a caller was on and hung up. So caller, I was not seeing that you were on. So if whoever, oh, hello.
Hi, Dr. Caller, Nina. This is Christina. Nina. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Sort of. Who's this?
This is Christina. Sorry, maybe you can't hear me. Hi.
Hi, Christina. Welcome
hello.
Back.
Well, I'm laughing because you just said something like, I wanted to call in because I cannot deal with these feelings under this situation that I think triggered a lot of feelings in me, like anger and confusion and helplessness and annoyance and I guess some fear. But I just wanted to call in to talk about how triggered I was with all of this media attention on Simone Biles. I was an ex-gymnast when I was younger, a lifelong athlete. And I have friends on Facebook commenting about her, and I'm just upset over some of the things that have been said. I just feel they expect so much perfection out of a young 24-year-old woman of color, And, you know, they're talking about everything from she was immature for these eye rolls and these faces after not making a vault. And I'm just, it points for me, the trigger was I always felt as if I had, and this went for sport, career, school, even at the dinner table, I could never show my true feelings or frustration or anger, and I was always having to stifle them so that I wouldn't get yelled at or demeaned or degraded or dehumanized by friends or my father or whomever it was. And this woman even specifically said, you know, she's immature, disrespectful actions, and they would have never happened when the Caroli old regime was coach. And so I mentioned about Larry Nassar flourishing under Caroli's watch in their training center. You know, he sexually assaulted over 100 athletes. And, you know, she victim blames and then went on to say, I only wish the girls could have spoken sooner so there would have been 5 or 6 victims instead of hundreds, which is blaming these young girls. And they have to go against some doctor in a position of power that their parents were most likely chummy with. Anyway, there's so much in here, and I was so frustrated. I just wanted to share that with you and the audience. And just the positive note is I'm certainly not eating over it at all. So that's great. This is the issue. There are so many issues to unpack in this situation. And by the way, I do want to say I'm very happy that Simone has a lot of supporters. But I just feel that the pressure placed on these young athletes is absolutely ridiculous. There's my piece. Well, I guess I should have a question for you. It's like, how do I get rid of this anger other than going for a run?
Okay, that is a great question because...
And I shouldn't have laughed. I shouldn't have laughed. I caught that. I am pissed. I am very pissed off.
Good catch. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running will alleviate the physical experience of anger because we feel our feelings in our bodies. Yeah. Anger will address the intensity of that physically, but running will not help you get rid of or the anger itself, the frustration, the irritation, the fuming righteously, you know, mm-hmm. angry on behalf of Simone Biles, these girls, and you, because what you're talking about is being objectified, being scrutinized. Oh, she rolled her eyes, having a microscope on her, which, you know, we as women also, well, we as people, I shouldn't even leave men out because now men are increasingly under scrutiny. You know, what? You only have a 6-pack, not a 12-pack?
Right.
Being blamed, not being heard, all of these are reasons that you are angry on behalf of others, but that you can also resonate with yourself. And so how to get rid of feelings is to... Yeah. Feel them. And how do you feel them? You have to express them as you just did, to say, this is making me mad. This is making me mad. This is making me mad. And I also feel powerless to do something about it. Your power is to express it, to challenge people, to when they victim blame, say, you know what? Not okay. They may or may not hear you, but you feel like you're doing something. And it's to just speak your anger. That's how we get rid of it. And also to respond to it. Yes, I feel angry. Of course. How could I not? This is an aggravating and raging even situation.
Right. And that's through using your very, which I do use, the validate, acknowledge, and then you could actually say acknowledge, validate, reassure yourself. And yes, that's something that I never did. I would just go the other way of beating myself up and actually take that old school mentality of rub some dirt on it, man up, this, you know, you've got it easy compared to everyone else. And just, I was so trained to think on that kind of way as opposed to, oh, right, I'm human. I should be able to, I have a right to feel whatever it is that I want to feel. And I do love how you always, I realized, as you mentioned, I can label things good and bad, like bad feelings. No, it's anger. It's a human feeling. Sadness, it's a human feeling. It's okay. And like you said, even with the tone of my voice, if nothing else, I can start there, which is to speak kindly to myself as opposed to basically yelling at myself. I somehow took my parents with me across the country, even though one of them's passed away. So, yeah, I just want to thank you for the very, you know, sometimes I want, like, I got to remember the running is not, it doesn't get rid of the feeling. It just physically makes me tired, right?
Yes, it addresses the physical manifestation of anger, but it doesn't actually address the anger. You actually just brought up a very important point that I want to expand on just a bit. When you said it's just a feeling, it makes you human, you're not going to label it as bad. Many people call certain emotions negative. Oh, that's a negative feeling.
Yeah. I was always told, don't be negative.
Don't be negative. As opposed to, yes. So now you're being negative. Now it's personalizing your feeling as if you're being negative rather than responding to a situation that is painful, that is enraging, that is hurtful in some way, that is disturbing. That there's no negative feelings. There's just, there's just reactions to situations.
Right. And I extrapolate that. I've also heard you say that with food to not, and I love this has been working very well. I don't label food as good or bad, clean or dirty. That's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Like I just bought into the media and to, you know, whatever they were saying with particular diets. And I will say, and even my husband, we were eating dinner the other day. He's like, wow, and again, I'm going to shame myself, which I shouldn't do. He's like, I've watched you these past few months and you really, really get it. He sees me eating what it is that I want to eat and not fussing and fretting and worrying about it. If I'm worried or angry or feeling something, like you said, I ask what's eating at me? It has nothing to do with what I'm eating. And that took me a long time to sort of understand that and to feel that. So I do appreciate that. It's you have a lot of really great tips and I just sort of apply them, you know, as they come up and not in a regimented schedule, but just trying to, you know, be kind to myself in terms of being able to think in a different manner that's healthy and positive for me and curious, being curious as opposed to, oh, and I think I mentioned to you one last thing. I will laugh at this, but it's probably not laughable. I do attend some OA meetings, and what I do is they're very tough on themselves and I don't do most of it. I just like the camaraderie and I don't follow any diet or food plan or counting day or anything like that. I just like the interaction with some of the women. So there you go.
Okay. Well, maybe you can find something else to do where you get camaraderie other than go to an OA meeting where
It can be toxic. I know what you're talking about. I see it. I see what you're. Yeah. I thank you. I am going to give myself permission to find a different group. Thank you. Probably one of yours.
Yes, a group where you can, and it doesn't even have to be regarding this topic. Like maybe you just need to have people who relate to you and are interested in the same things that you're interested in. You know, when we are not fulfilled, we fill up with food.
Or my other thing too is I will restrict because, you know, it's that deep-seated thing of I don't deserve basic human needs because I did have neglect, you know, from parents in certain other areas. So if they treated me a particular way, I'm looking at myself and it is interesting how I always felt I had to earn food or earn basic human needs, I think because love was conditional in my family and not unconditional. So I would get rewarded and praised if I did what they wanted and then silent treatment and negativity otherwise. So I'm really thinking about all of this, but right, it can go on the overeating, but for me, it can definitely go into the undereating as in I don't deserve basic human needs. That's very toxic and it's sad. It's sad.
It is sad and it can also be so consciously it's I don't deserve this, but it can also express how deprived you feel, right? Depriving yourself of food, you're deprived, you're starving, and you are deprived, and you were deprived emotionally, you were deprived. And so it's a way of expressing your experience through food.
Right. And I don't think it's a coincidence when I would get together with my mom, I realized I wouldn't eat in front of her or hardly anything, because I don't know if that has to do with, I felt deprived with her love or her affection or nurturing. I don't know. I'll have to think on that more. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to link that, but it is an interesting observation I made.
Yes. And the other thing I'd be curious about is, if you were shamed essentially for having basic human needs, maybe you couldn't eat in front of her because that was proof that you were in fact a human person with basic needs, and you couldn't show that in front of even your mom, or especially your mommy.
It's so fascinating how the Simone Biles things brought up all kinds of things. So yeah, that's really interesting. I see why I was so triggered, just everything from emotional neglect, abuse, physical abuse, sports, women, sexual abuse, harassment. Oh man, it's just it's a lot. But thank you for letting me share that with everybody. It makes me feel better.
And it might also bring up something that you might need to look at. Maybe you need more healing in the area of, I know you said you were a competitive swimmer. Mm-hmm. I think swimmer. So you know, maybe there's something about that experience and what happened with that that just needs a little bit more healing.
No, 100%. I mean, it was almost as if I felt I deserved pain. And so I would have to swim and earn positions. And this would also go for career, just in order to feel I could have the love of my husband or have food or have a vacation. I just felt like I've always had to earn everything, but 10 times over. And in some ways, I do feel like I was addicted to pain. I left my child at home, but continue to swim like these marathon swims as an adult. Let me tell you, they were painful. Some of them were heat wave conditions. It was sort of crazy now that I think about it. I had to stop that because I had a really bad injury, which I'm still recovering for 2.5 years later. But, it's certainly given me a lot of time to reassess everything. So it's difficult. It's hard. Some good is coming out of it, but you know, it's a long path, and I'm not going to dismiss it either. I dismiss everything. I was going to say, other people have it worse than I do, but you know, that's their own issue. I was dismissed a lot. I was dismissed a lot. I was not heard as a kid or even a young woman. So it's easy for me to continue to do that to myself.
And
but yeah,
you
there's
said
a lot to be talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. You said you brought your parents all the way across the country in your head. What happens, right? We internalize the way we are treated, even if we actively hate it. What starts out relational between you and someone else ends up being between you and another part of you that identified with them. That's why I call this work a psychological exorcism, right? It's getting these ideas out of your head, these ideas that came from other people. But you're doing a great job of that today. I am really recognizing you stopped yourself when you laughed. You laughed off something. You recognize how you were starting to dismiss yourself by saying other people have it worse. By the way, other people always have it worse. We can always compare ourselves to someone who's living in Africa or in some war-torn part of the world where they're just trying to like basically survive. That's why comparison, all it does is make us feel bad about feeling bad. You have a you have a right to have a reaction to what is going on. It doesn't matter how much you have, how privileged you have, how privileged you are. If something is affecting you, you get to be affected by it and respond to yourself and feel it and express it.
And thank you for that reminder, because I was always told, you know, oh, don't be sad. Don't be mad. Don't be this. Don't. I'm like, wow. So I need that constant reminder from you. So I do listen to all of your shows. And I have your books, as you know. And I do need to ditch the OA and rejoin your group. But I did want to just call and say I'm always reading what you have to say. And it's incredibly helpful. And it's, you know, I'm on my own time frame, whatever that is. There's no time frame for this. I know I'm working on it. So a million thanks to you, and your advice is really freaking good.
Oh, well, I'm glad, and I hear that you are internalizing it and creating a new way of responding to yourself, and that is lovely to hear. So
thank you,
100%. I can tell you're doing the work, Christina.
Thanks. Thank you, Dr. Nina. I look forward to hearing from other people. I love hearing from all the people that call your show. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. And as Christina just said, I also love hearing from you. So, you know, give me a call, 323-203-0815. Love to talk about what is going on with you. And I will relate it to what is going on with food, because our relationship with ourselves is really the key to understanding our relationship with food. When we make peace with ourselves, we make peace with food too. And yes, absolutely, Christina was taught not just don't feel, but don't be a feeler, right? Don't be a person, not just don't be sad. Just, it's kind of like, don't be like that. Shaming. And it's more than just don't feel that way. Don't be that way. Don't be sad. Don't be mad is a way of demonizing your experience. And then it makes it about, you know, it makes it about you. Like, oh, you're a person who's sad rather than you're a person who's feeling sad. And then there's shame attached to these experiences, what do we do with our feelings? We escape them. And then instead of being mad at a situation in our worlds, we're mad at ourselves for what we eat or what we weigh or whatever it is that's going on with food. And the more that we can take our own side and be with ourselves and support ourselves and listen to ourselves and respond to ourselves, you know what? You don't need food to escape yourself. So for the person who asked about getting back on track after having a lapse, yeah, on track suggests dieting. And dieting just focuses on what you're eating, not why. And diets are impossible to sustain. They always include deprivation, and either the experience of deprivation or the anticipation of deprivation makes you want what you can't have. And eventually you go off the diet and you have what you want, maybe too much of it because you haven't been able to have it. And then there's the Last Supper mentality, which usually happens on a Sunday night. Oh, I'm never going to be able to have this thing until I lose X pounds. So I'm going to have a lot of it now. And then you go on a diet, which doesn't last. And then you go off the diet and, you know, it's just a terrible pattern. So forget being on track. Instead of thinking about being on track, think about, why are you eating something? Think about, are you making choices that someone has told you are bad, rather than, you know, learning to eat intuitively? There's no such thing as clean eating. There's no such thing as dirty eating. There's just food. There's just, and food is, some is healthier and some is not healthier. But when you say, oh, I was so bad because I ate a cookie, or I was so bad I ate pasta, or I was so bad that I, whatever, fill in the blank. Now, not only do you feel bad about eating something, which, why? But you feel bad about yourself. And then the day is ruined, so you might as well have a lot of it. And then you feel even worse. And then you get mad at yourself and you beat yourself up, and then you eat food just to get away from your own mean voice. It is a terrible, terrible cycle. And it starts with saying, no, I am not going to be on track. I'm not going to put food in a good food, bad food category. I used to offer my kids, they'd say they're hungry, want a snack. I'd say, do you want an orange or do you want some cookies? you know, do you want, or, you know, do you want a piece of toast with peanut butter, or do you want some celery sticks and dip or whatever? I would offer them everything as if they were equal. And that, because people say, how is it that when your daughter is, and you're, so my, for those of you who haven't heard the story, daughter was hungry. She had a huge, huge pillowcase full of candy. My husband said, well, if you're hungry, just have some candy, because we weren't any place near a store or anything or home. And she said, no, I want real food. Oh, glorious moment. So happy. How did it get there? How did she do that? Because all her life, she was given the choice. Do you want candy? Do you want an apple? Do you want ice cream? Or do you want this? And she could learn to choose what it is she wanted. And sometimes she wanted the ice cream. And sometimes, actually more often, she wanted the apple. So when we take the good and bad off of food and just make it food, it's a lot easier to tune into intuitive eating. And when you are looking at why you are turning to food, if you're emotional eating, stress eating, and learn a new way to respond to that stress, to those emotions, to those conflicts, you don't need food for that purpose. Okay, how are we doing on time? Oh, we have time. Okay. Someone else wrote, wait, Carly, gosh, I don't know if I answered your question, but I think that maybe when I was talking to Christina and looking at how you internalize the, we internalize the way we're treated and we treat ourselves the same way. Why this is sometimes very hard to stop is because it keeps us unconsciously connected to those people. If you're treating yourself as you were treated, it's like you have the presence of those people with you in some way. Not consciously, I'm talking about the hidden unconscious mind. And so, Carly Gash, look at what does it mean to break that bond? What does it mean to separate, truly separate from your family? I know you came here from Kazakhstan, but you kind of brought them with you. What does it mean to cut the tie, to be your own self, to differentiate yourself, to, will it be like you're part of the you're not part of the family anymore? It has some meaning that you want to dig into and investigate. So, oh, another caller is on. Sorry. Hello.
Hello, it's Pamela.
Hi, Pam. I was going on and on and on. And then I realized, oh, Sam, I'm sorry. I really should look at my little notes. Hi, Pamela. How are you?
I'm actually good. And I think, you know, a lot about what you say is that when you're growing up, parents, or my mom, you know, with the deprivation, and she never gave us a choice. You know, she would take the Halloween candy and hide it in her car. And then, you know, we would have to beg for it. So I really understand all that. And I had vowed when I left home that, you know, that wasn't going to happen. Cause I used to go to the market and buy candy and sneak it into the house, you know, and I would eat it in my room so she wouldn't figure it out, but I get it. But I do want to say that, I think I finally found out, you know, with all my goings on, that people sometimes have to go into survival mode. And I think that's what was happening with me, is that I was, because every time I was in the hospital and every time I was going for chemo, that I was like in such survival mode that, and then when I had the surgery that, you know, I was just so numb because I was going through everything. But I think I didn't get a chance to be angry and to be frustrated. And, you know, it's been a year since I was diagnosed with the cancer and I'm still going through it. But I think I call them meltdowns. And I think when I finally had my meltdown a couple of weeks ago, you know, where my anxiety was really high, that I finally got angry enough to to say that this is what I was going through. And I think a lot of us don't look into ourselves to say, why are you really, why is it that you're eating that is really making you upset? So I totally agree with lots of therapy that, you know, I understand that that's what the problem is. You know, we don't, as children, we've tried to express it to our parents, but they don't want to listen, or they don't want to give us what we need, because I have that problem too. You know, I keep telling this person, you know, listen to me. Don't, what's the word? They don't listen to you,
dismiss
you. That's the word. Yeah. Dismiss you. And, you know, and that's what happened. And I'm the kind of person that I just take it and take it and take it. And then when I blow up, I just blow up, you know. And, you know, I have people in my life, I don't want to say, but anyways, you know, we were dismissed by our parents. I know I was dismissed by my mother. You know, I told her even when I was older that, you know, Mom, you said things to me that why did you say those things? And she'll just turn it around and say, well, you wanted it this and you wanted it this way. No, Mom, I didn't. You just made me do it, you know, because I'm the child and you're the parent, you know, so I listen to you, you know.
You have some experience with being dismissed. And when we're dismissed by our own parent, it's easy to allow ourselves to be dismissed by someone else because it's so familiar. It doesn't feel like dismissal. It feels comfortable. It's familiar. I just want to add one thing. You said that you had meltdowns. And yeah. I want to reframe that because meltdowns is a kind of a negative way of putting it to me. Okay. What you have are strong emotions. You had a strong reaction. You got emotional. It's not like meltdowns is like, it seems to be, look, you totally melted down. Rather than you felt something really, really deeply. You see the difference?
Yeah, I was feeling everything was stirring in the pot, you know, like it just kept coming and coming and coming and coming, you know, like, you know, it was my sister who told me to F off. And I had to get rid of a friend that, you know, I've been friends with for a very long time because I couldn't deal with his dealings. And, you know, and then it was, and then just going and just being July, and then it's been a year and I'm still going through, you know, infusions every 3 weeks. It's just like, it's like nonstop. And, you know, and then we had some visitors and it was like, reminded me of, well, it's like, I can't explain it. Well, I can, but not now, but.
A lot was going on.
It just affected me. Yeah. A lot going on. It just affected me very much, you know, and then, you know, and I don't like it when people go,
So Pam, the lesson here is it kind of reminds me of, I've told the story of when I was in college and my roommate would steal. That was a Freudian slip. It felt like stealing, borrow all the time, borrow. And one day she reached reached for an eraser and she's like, oh, can I just borrow this? And I was like, no, you can't. And I blew up at her. And she said, oh my gosh. It's just an eraser. Well, it wasn't an eraser. It was all the stuff she'd borrowed for, you know, the whole time we've been living together. Had I said something early on, it wouldn't have gotten to that level. So I would encourage you to say something early on, right? To say,
I'm starting to do that now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'm studying the AI now because she doesn't stop. You know, it's like, really? I have lots of patience. I do. But so much has happened. The pandemic, the breast cancer, you know, the blood clots, I got COVID, everything. And I'm the surgery. And so much has happened. And it's just, I just don't, my patience is just gone. You know, it's like, I just need to be with me and relax and take care of me, you know, and because it's enough. It's just, you know, eating like I was, it was nonstop. I mean, I've gained so much weight. And I've gotten to the point where I don't like it anymore, you know, and I'm trying to get rid of the negative in my life, you know, and it's just, let me take care of me, you know, I'm trying and, you know, and there's people that just don't get it. I need to take care of me and, exactly. You know, don't figure me out. Don't this, don't that, just. Let me be.
Pam, I hear the strength and the power of that. And you've been through a lot to come to that place, perhaps in a weird way. The gift of breast cancer is horrible, but maybe one of the gifts that it's given you is to take care of yourself in every way, your body and your emotions, and to not tolerate people who are toxic and who don't treat you well, to not tolerate that, because otherwise you take care of other people, you tolerate bad treatment, and then food takes care of you. And that doesn't work. That just leads to feeling terrible. And you're ready. You've been through hell. You're still going through hell.
Yeah.
You want to feel good. And part of that means taking care of all parts of you, your emotions, your relationships, and your body.
Yeah. And I forgot my body, you know, and like I said, I get into this, I'm so used to going into survival mode that for the past 10 months, that's all I've been in, because I'm trying to deal with, you know, the breast cancer and the chemo. Chemo is awful. It is so awful. And I'm at the point to where I don't want to go to doctor's appointments. I'm tired of getting needles stuck inside of me. I'm tired of, you know, going and dealing with, because of this COVID thing that, you know, that you have to, I call it, going through Fort Knox at the hospital. You know, I understand that they're trying to, make people safe, you know, have them all safe and everything. But this is ridiculous. It's just, you know, and don't even get me started with the vaccinations, because that's another story. But, and the thing about,
I hear you on that one. I don't know why more everyone isn't vaccinated, but Pam, listen, I am so glad you called. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. Yeah. So I will invite you to call me back next week and let us know how you are doing, but I want to encourage you to continue to protect yourself from toxic people or people who just don't enhance your life, and to take care of yourself. And to listen, there's nothing like breast cancer to help you remember to take care of your body. As the saying goes, you only have one body, and if you don't take care of it, where will you live? So
exactly.
So take good care of your body and your heart and your soul. And please give me a call next week and keep us updated.
Okay.
Okay. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Josh, you
Thank
couldn't
you.
Get through. It might have been because I might have been on with someone else. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Sam is able to put anyone on hold. We have Ronan. Ronan is gone now. We have Sam. So things are a little bit different, but hopefully you will call in and we can hear from you next week. Same thing for Carly Gash, who I know is also here on Instagram. So that is the show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I'm here every Wednesday at 11. You can listen live or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts. And you know, earlier, Christina was talking about wanting a group of supportive people who kind of got it. And even though I encouraged her to find a group that maybe doesn't have to do with food issues, if you are interested in joining a supportive group with people who are struggling with food and who are want to look at it from a little bit of a different way, instead of focusing on food, focusing on what's eating at you and trying new ways of relating to yourself, please check out my Binge Free Babes program that I do with Kelly Gunter. You can find out about that and also my Diet Free Divas. Those are the two programs that I'm offering, and they are both, you get me once a week live in Zoom calls. You can ask me anything, and it's just a group, a community of amazingly supportive women from all over the country, indeed all over the world. And I hope that you will check it out and join us. So take good care of yourselves this week. Stay curious, not critical, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.